We did get to see Jesus on a motorcycle. Remember that?
Yeah. Build out that. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe we shouldn't. I don't know. Jesus on a motorcycle sounds pretty cool.
Thank you for joining us for the Branches of Faith podcast, where we explore faiths across all religions by visiting a different house of worship every week. Here we share our reflections and observations. Thanks for listening. Hello, and welcome back to the Branches of Faith podcast. I'm Kate, and I'm joined here by my husband, Ben. We had a lovely visit to the Peoria First United Methodist Church and are so excited to share what we experienced with you all. Fun fact, I did a quick search and there are more than 20 churches within the First United Methodist denomination, simply within a 25-mile radius of where we live. But today we will focus our time on this church and we look forward to comparing our experience to other Methodist churches in the future. A reminder that you can also find my weekly blog where I share my personal experience and more of my thoughts on medium.com at Branches of Faith. As we tend to do, we will begin with our ChatGPT 60-second history of the Peoria First United Methodist Church. The Peoria First United Methodist Church was established in the heart of Peoria and stands as a testament to faith, resilience, and community spirit. From its humble beginnings in the 19th century to its present-day prominence, it has been a beacon of hope and love for generations. Rooted in the Wesleyan tradition, the church values grace, compassion, and service. They embrace diversity, welcoming all who seek solace and spiritual growth. Throughout their history, they've stood firm in their commitment to social justice, advocating for equality, and supporting those in need. From hosting educational programs to organizing outreach initiatives, Peoria First has been at the forefront of positive change. Their core beliefs revolve around the teachings of Jesus, inspiring members to love one another and make a difference in the world. As they reflect on their past and look to the future, they hope to continue to uphold these values and work together to build a more compassionate and inclusive community for all. I hope you all are enjoying that quick history, and now we will move on to our personal experience. It was really interesting to visit this church because we both have been here before. One of their missions is the Foster Gallery for Christianity and the Arts. According to their website, they use the Foster Gallery to nurture mutual understanding and appreciation of the connection between art and faith, and to develop and strengthen relationships between artists, the community, and the church. Ben and I have both been here a few times for First Fridays, and they always have wonderful and very talented art to see. The other connection that we had is my Rotary Club was meeting there up until about a month ago, so I would go there weekly for my meeting. But neither of us had ever been to church there before. Now, if you've been listening for a while, you know that I get on church websites before we visit and check out visitor information. Despite that, we have had a high number of times where we have not exactly known where to enter a church upon arriving, and we end up going back in the backside or a side door. But not this time, folks. And churches, take note, Peoria First knows what they are doing. They have not one, but multiple videos on their website to help new visitors know where to go and what to do, along with a map, photos of the parking area, and details about different entrances. Even if we hadn't been there before, there was no way that we could have messed this one up. So Ben, you did some research on the history of Peoria First. What did you learn about it?
I did. I think the history part inspires me like through a gate of the architecture. And so when I start my research, it's mostly for looking at the building and when it was built and perhaps even who it was built by, what additions were added on. So I'm going to do a little bit of reading from my research. So it might sound a little bit robotic in the way of reading.
Okay.
So it said that the church was founded through a movement called the Methodist Circuit Riders. I'm not very familiar with that. Around 1825. So that's pretty cool. You know, 1800s, a reverend named Jesse Walker came to the Peoria area, and sometime in the 1820s, between 1824 and 1828, is when he established a ministry in Peoria that was specifically United Methodist ministry. From there, 1833, they were operating as a church, but they were operating through people's homes and through the courthouse. So they didn't actually have a building yet. And that didn't happen until around 1840. They had their first building erected. And then in 1844, an addition was made. And then in 1842, I guess I'm not going perfectly here in sync here, but in 1842, it said that it was visited by President Martin Van Buren, United States President.
Cool.
And around 1850, it says 1849, this is a neat little bit, the frame structure was sold and moved to Water Street and Harrison Street, and now is currently part of a building called the Central Hotel that I'm not very familiar with.
Yeah, I don't know if that's still there. Yeah.
But to maybe next time we're in Peoria and we go check that out, that would be the original building. Somehow they were able to pick it up off of its posts and move it down the road. Kind of need to think about, right?
They were a lot tougher back then.
Yeah, yeah. And to think all of that happened in a span of 10 years.
Yeah.
So like 1840 all the way up to 1850. And then they moved the building. They erected a brick building in 1847. And then they dedicated it in 1849 as the church. Then in 1884, the church building itself, so I imagine that this first building that was erected didn't constitute as a church. But then in 1884, they actually had a church, probably with a large room for gathering. And then the Hamilton Methodist Episcopal Church was also known as the Madison Avenue MEC, and that was started in 1858. And in the 1900s, the Hamilton MEC opened up the Deaconess? Deaconess Home and Hospital, which later became Unity Point Methodist Church.
Okay, Unity Point.
Unity
Point.
Okay, cool. Unity Point Methodist, nice. Which is now Carr Health. When we drive through the city of Peoria, you'll see two hospitals. And the one on the left, if you're going to the west, is the old Unity Point Methodist Church, and now it's called Carl Health. And it was a school of nursing, back in the day. Mm-hmm. So,
cool.
Yeah. It was, they were then invited to join another church called the Peoria First United Methodist as they planned construction for a new church in 1916. The building was dedicated. Additional acreage was purchased in 1917. And the total cost of these two acquisitions was $153,000.
Wow. Yeah, I think the church that we visited is the conglomeration of those two. Mm-hmm. So we went to Peoria First United Methodist, and it had joined in with that one, the Hamilton Methodist Church, is what I kind of understood. One thing I did read is that this was the first Protestant church in the Peoria area that was ever here, that came to the area way back when Peoria was developing, back when Native Americans were still here. So I thought that was really interesting. So how would you describe the architecture and atmosphere of the place?
I think as far as a church architecture goes, this place in Peoria is prominent. It is every bit of the brick and mortar, impressive steps leading up to, big wooden doors that you would expect out of a beautiful well-made church. I think the first thing that we did when we got there was we asked to see some of the stained glass. And so I'm a big fan of that kind of art. And so we were kind of toured around by, was it Eugene?
Eugene Mason.
Yeah, Eugene. He's an artist. Mm-hmm. And
we just kind of latched onto him, though. He saw us poking around. So the day we got there, their sanctuary, the heat wasn't working. So we couldn't just easily go in there. It was locked because of that. But he noticed that we were there, and he was nice enough to take us on a quick little tour of that, and then the small side chapel, too, so we could see the space. And very nice of him to do that and show us the stained glass for you and talk about
there's
art.
Yeah, there's very much a distinction between the old part of the church and the newer part of the church.
Yeah.
Huge. And in the way of the older part of the church, much grander ceilings, real prominent stained glass windows. And like Katie was saying, the heat wasn't working there at that time. But we did get to see Jesus on a motorcycle. Remember that?
Yeah, out that. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe we shouldn't. I don't know. Jesus on a motorcycle
maybe
sounds pretty cool.
Maybe people should go visit the church to go find Jesus.
So Eugene called that room the chapel, right?
Yeah.
So before we actually sat down for a service, like she was saying, Eugene took us through the old part of the building. And we had a chance to enter in there. And it's, I don't know what you felt when you walked in there, but it's neat being inside of, for me, it was neat to be inside of that space without anybody else in there.
Yeah, absolutely.
It felt like a very, very much like a museum. Mm-hmm. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
Absolutely beautiful. And then he took us into a smaller room, which was the chapel room, he said, which had better stained glass. And then he took us in there. And then I believe it was the Reverend then who came in just as we were leaving and kind of just in a playful way brought us over to the last pane of glass, and he said everybody here really enjoys, and we call this Jesus on a motorcycle. And it was just a bit of the design, and it was Jesus sitting down reading to some children, and it just with his sitting posture next to two designs of circles, it kind of looked like he was on a low riding motorcycle. So we had a moment with that.
yeah Yeah, so we did that. They were in the middle of their coffee service at that point. So they have three services. They had 8:30, 9:45, and 11:15. So the first and the very last service are their more traditional, which would have normally been in the sanctuary. But the one we went to, just for timing, was the contemporary at 9:45, which is held in their, I think they call it the worship hall. I can't remember. So we went to that. Normally, I would try to always go to the traditional service because I really want to get to the root of the religion. But the timing, 8:30 was a little too early for us, and 11:15 felt a little bit too late. So we went ahead and did the contemporary, which it would not normally be my thing, but which I think we've covered in a few past podcasts.
I think for two reasons, I would have liked to have gone to the other service because it would have been, had the heap been working, you know, we would have been in the other room. Which was a more impressive room to me than the room that we were in.
Yeah, my Rotary lunch was always in the room where we ended up having the contemporary service. So I had been in there a number of times, but
which is like a stage because they have a musical group that sings,
a praise band,
a praise band. So
And we all sat around, and I think there was maybe about 40 people there, maybe 45, maybe. I counted seats like I always do. This obsession with counting seats and pews, but I did not take note really of the people, but I guessed based on, you know, one section.
At its occupancy, how full do you think it was percentage wise? Because you said like 45 people.
Yeah, I would guess it was about 40, maybe 35, 40% full.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Definitely less than half at that day.
But I think they also maybe have some of their Bible studies and Sunday schools during that time. So it could be that a lot of people were there, and there were quite a few more people in the coffee area that I think had been coming from the 8:30 service that maybe then go to Bible study or Sunday school. So it might just be the timing that we were there. The other thing this church does, which I think is really neat, is they have a bilingual service also, I think, at 11:15 for people. They are very, very involved with the Hispanic community in Peoria, which is really neat. And they have most things that are written are bilingual. Everything was in Spanish and English. When you see signs, they were, they dive deep, which I will get more into that after a little bit. But let's talk a little bit just briefly about the service because it wasn't super long. So any feedback on the service that you want to share about?
Well, no, I don't think so.
Do you remember the message?
I'm drawing a blank. Wait a second.
Is it I'm the one that paid attention this time?
Yeah.
The message was about going and spreading the word, like go and be a disciple, but not like leave,
That's right.
Go and do it. It was a verb, go out into the world and be a disciple, and not just through your words. In fact, he said Martin Luther. I don't know if that's an accurate quote. I haven't verified that, but to become, I think, what was it? Become a disciple, but use words only if necessary. So doing it more in your actions. And he mentioned, you know, at the grocery store or talking to your friends or your neighbors or whoever in your life to show them through your actions that you are a disciple of Jesus. So that was the purpose of the service and of what he was speaking about at that point. So there was a lot of music, as always, a little loud for me, but I mean, that's not going to take much. People should not take that as a criticism because that's more of a Katie thing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, what about you?
I do remember him very explicitly getting into terminology and getting into the word go, not as a verb in the way of like picking yourself up and leaving from a room. I think this came from some sort of a scripture out of the Bible when Jesus told his disciples to go and do this. Because I think the whole liturgy for the day or the sermon for the day kind of was on the hill of, what was it called? It was the
Sermon on the Mount.
Sermon on the Mountain. Is in which Jesus told people to go about their lives. And that was kind of the emphasis, was not just to go and leave me from where you are today. And
leave
go,
me alone.
Yeah, just go. But yeah, maybe he needed some space.
He might have. He had just risen from the dead. He needed some time.
Yeah, I got to collect my thoughts here.
But yes, joking. All joking aside, he was encouraging people to go and actionably be disciples of him. So yes.
I also appreciated his geographical sense and awareness of wanting to try and drill down to where we were when this happened. We were at the Sea of
Galilee.
Yeah, the Sea of Galilee.
You know what I noticed was the pastor at the First Federated Church did that same thing, gave us a geography lesson. And I remembered that, and it was interesting hearing that come up again. So I wonder if that's kind of a thing that happens.
Yeah, and on this day, the pastor even apologized, saying, you know what, I should have had a map for you.
Yeah, I'm so sorry.
Like,
yeah.
Like an afterthought, like, oh, because they did have a projection screen up there.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he wished he had, and that would have been nice, but he did a good job explaining it, and I was able to picture where he was talking about, and the way he kind of gave us some reference for size, you know,
yeah,
they call it the sea, but it's really more like a lake.
He said the Sea of Galilee was like from Peoria to Tremont.
Right.
So,
yeah,
you know, it's a pretty wide sea.
It's still big.
Or a pretty wide lake.
Yeah, that's still, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, there was a lot of music. They came around and took an offering. I didn't really know what to do at that point because they didn't come down on
they skipped our, row.
Our side. Yeah, they went down the middle aisles, like on either side, but they didn't go down like the main middle aisle.
Mm-hmm.
But at the very end, this is one interaction we had besides our interaction with Eugene Mason, was at the end, the lady behind us right away when the service was over thanked us for coming. She just spoke up. I mean, she just said, hey, thanks for coming. My name's whatever it was. And so I asked her what to do with our offering. We always give money at each place we go, and I always fill out the visitor card if they have one. So I said, what do I do with this thing? And she said, yeah, they did kind of miss us. So she was very nice and offered to take it down to the church office for us, which was great. And she and her husband or partner, whoever that was, introduced themselves, welcomed us, invited us back. And that was about it. We both were kind of recovering from a cold, so we didn't really feel like we should maybe go into the coffee area and hang out too much with people. At least I didn't.
I don't know if they were doing any kind of coffee afterwards.
I think they were. I think they do it between all their services.
Okay.
But I just felt like we should go and not do that. But one thing I do want to talk about, though, that because it is kind of quick what we're talking about the service this time, is the missions that this church is behind, because they are exactly what I would call a boots on the ground type of church. They are so involved in the local community, and I'm going to try to sum up, but it's going to be really hard. I actually have a picture that I posted on my blog, if you're following along there, that I snapped of just a little like flyer that they had sitting out of all the things they are doing. And I honestly don't even think that encompassed everything when I read more about it. The biggest thing I think they are doing is their food pantry called Loaves and Fishes that they do weekly, but they also pair that with a clothing and medical clinic for the local community. So they are really serving. They have also partnered with a Peoria Public School called Lincoln School, and they provide snack packs to students who need to supplement their food at home. They have a music ministry with the kids there where they've started a school choir and I think an art club. They have something called birthday buddies, booster buddies, tutor buddies, backpack buddies, all these things that they are doing with this kindergarten through eighth grade public school, which is in the center, I think, what I would call of downtown Peoria. So definitely serving those in need. They, like I mentioned before, they have their foster gallery, so their arts ministry. They have a soccer clinic that they do for kids. Like, what an awesome thing. And that's at Morton Square Park, which is also in that same area as Lincoln School, as far as I know. They have something called Neutral Ground, which looks like they are helping people who maybe have HIV or AIDS. Not really sure exactly what it is, but something with a health clinic for something like that. They have a police prayer team, Nitwits, Stephen Ministry, Caring Ministry. Like, it just keeps going. And then the other thing that they do is because they are so involved with the Hispanic community, they are very involved with immigration services. So certain times of the month, they will have people come in and they'll help them get their driver's license, social security cards, you know, assistance, food assistance, registering kids for school, whatever it is that they need. And because they have so many members of that community, they're bilingual, so they can really help them and communicate with them and make it really easy for them. So this church is doing it. Like, they are really living the way that
practicing.
And the statement on the front of their bulletin says, we don't go to church, we are the church. And I would 100% back that up with what I have witnessed with what they are doing. And usually when I would show up for Rotary on Fridays, I think they were prepping for their loaves and fishes. So there was always people and hustle and bustle and food carts and things like that, you know, being hauled in and out for that. So pretty neat to see what they're doing with their space there, because they chose to stay downtown Peoria for that purpose, to be in the community. I think they had the opportunity at one point to move outside of town.
1953.
There you go. And they chose to stay, and look what they're doing with that, which I think is awesome. So, yeah.
Making good on that opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, yeah.
I have a question for you that's not related to all of their missions, but it is about kind of like some of their views. And what some people may not know is Kate is also a divorce coach. And I thought I overheard something while we were there that kind of prompted me to ask you this. But considering your work as a divorce coach, what did you find to be the Peoria's First stance on this topic, on divorce?
Yeah, this is something I think about a lot when I go to churches. And I had a little bit of trouble finding exactly what they believe or how they go about this. I think the Methodist Church, specifically this one, is very welcoming and very open to people and wherever they are in life. So the understanding that I have is that they believe that marriage should be a lifelong endeavor, but there are just times that that's not going to happen. They're just beyond reconciliation. It's just not going to happen. And so the church's goal is to support the couple in the best way possible and make it as peaceful as possible. And the focus is on the children, if there are children in that partnership, and helping them get through it so that they can get through with the least amount of trauma as possible, and caring for that couple so that it doesn't become this huge, nasty legal battle, but giving them the resources to get through well so they can move on with their lives in the best way. I do think that they also put a lot of effort into counseling, premarital, marital, postmarital counseling, in order to hopefully help prevent some of those problems from arising. So not just, you know, people getting married and saying, good luck, you're on your own, but really diving in to try to give them the tools to work through problems that might, you know, left unchecked, lead to divorce for people. So they're trying not only to prevent it, but they also are okay in supporting people as they go through it. So yeah, thanks for asking. Mm-hmm. That's a good question. Definitely something I think about quite a bit with my clients that I've experienced.
And did you find that information on the website? How did you come to that understanding?
I had to dig into that. I found that actually on the main overall United Methodist Church website for like the nation, for the United States. So this was not on their website. I did struggle. Their website did not detail their beliefs or their values or core, you know, whatever it is, doctrine, like I've found on a lot of churches. And I don't know if that's because they are pretty open and they just want to leave it open so that that's not a wall for somebody or a potential wall.
Yeah, because the second you take a firm stance on declaring something, you're also declaring what you are and then also what you're not.
Right. And so I don't know if that's why or if they just do it in a different way. I mean, they do have different things on their website about their they're really more about action. Like, this is what we are doing rather than this is what we believe or what we don't believe or what we support or don't support. That's really more actionable, which I think is awesome. I would totally get behind that. So, yeah, so I found it on the main overarching website when I did some research on that. Yeah. I have not gotten any follow-up yet from anybody, but again, I've found that it often takes a little bit of time, and I know the churches, I don't want to make that sound like that's a bad thing. The churches are not wanting to scare people off and Monday morning phone call to people like, hey, how'd you like church? You want to come back? So
yeah, and we've moved our recording to try and help give a little bit more time on that instead of doing maybe the recording like the next day or something like that. So
yeah,
I wonder if maybe we should just kind of omit that part at some point in time. Because I don't think we've, and the times that we have been reached by a church member, it's after we've recorded.
Sure, yeah.
So,
which is fine, yeah. What was your summary? What do you think? To sum up your experience.
I love going to a place with beautiful architecture. Mm-hmm. And then the stained glass on top of that. And any church we're going to go to is going to be hopefully full of nice people. Mm-hmm. And so it's nice to take a little bit of time out of the week to be invited, to be welcomed to places. I wish we could have gone to the other service and been in the other part of the building, the older part of the building, for me, just for the sake of the architecture. And I'd be curious to know if the message was probably, it was probably going to be the same.
Mm-hmm. I guess, yeah.
But still to the message, it was a great message about going about your day, your week, your life, and trying to practice and be a disciple and not necessarily have to do that through a message of word.
Right.
Like, there was the one point in time he was talking about in his college campus at Southern Illinois University.
Oh, yeah.
There was a a disciple who was wearing one of those,
like a sandwich board.
Like a sandwich board with a ropes over the shoulders.
Street preacher, yeah.
Yeah. And he would just attack people on their way to class and tell them what kind of sins they've likely participated in.
Right.
And he made sure to provide that kind of imagery and that kind of narrative so that it serves as a contrast to really what he's asking the people of the church to do. Like, don't go and do that. Don't be the sandwich billboard guy with the microphone. Right. He even said he had like a Bible and like a gun holster and he just like pull it out like John Wayne. Yeah. And attack people. He said, don't do that. You know, live your life through the responsibility to be a disciple through your actions and not necessarily through your words and berating people. Yeah,
right. Absolutely.
So, great message.
Yeah. It's a neat place. And I mean, as artists, I love that they're using art as a way to get people in their doors. You know, somebody, I think it was Pastor Clark from the Assembly of God Church talked about these side door entries to church. How can we get people through the doors in a way that feels comfortable and safe so that maybe eventually they will go through the front door? And I think that's a huge thing that the Peoria First United Methodist Church is doing, is they've got side doors everywhere. Literally, I mean, and they're going out and creating doors for people to come to their church and witness what they're doing. So it's pretty amazing.
Yeah. I remember when we went there for the First Friday art exhibit with the kids. Mm-hmm. This was last year, maybe. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if the kids saw any art, but they sure ate a lot of chocolate chip cookies. Gosh,
well, you've got, you know, church ladies there making all
that
good
they
food.
Were so sweet. And of course, you know, you can't pull the parenting trump card on an old sweet lady when the kids are like pocketing the third cookie. And we're like, hey, you got to cool it with the cookies, man. And the old lady's like, no, go ahead. And I'm just like, okay, grab five more.
Yeah, it's great. I think that's what
good
awesome
place, good
doing.
People.
So yeah, absolutely.
Good message.
And yeah, I think it was great. It was fun visiting a place that we've been for different reasons and then to actually go there and experience as a church too. And I agree. I would like to go back for one of their more traditional services sometime. So we'll try to fit that in at some point. But there's 22 other Methodist churches in a 25-mile radius, so it might be a while before we make it.
We were driving
one.
The other day, and you asked me how long would it take to get all of these churches under our belt. Mm-hmm. Like, would we ever run out? And I don't know if we would. It's suddenly, now that we're doing this podcast, I'm realizing there is a church everywhere, on every corner.
They're all over
even
the
in the small towns that we live in, and between here and the bigger city, just churches on every corner.
We've got some fun ones coming up, too, that I'm so excited about. Some really unique experiences coming up that we are going to share, and it's going to take a little bit of bravery from us and confidence that, you know, I have to pull out, and it's going to be pretty cool though. Super excited about it. So
do you want to tease one of those?
Like, which one are you most looking? The one that we're going to this coming week does not meet at a normal time. It's a Sunday, but it meets on a Sunday afternoon around from 2 to 4.
Oh,
so not your traditional church time. And I'll just leave it at that.
Okay.
So thank you so much for joining us for the Branches of Faith podcast. Please join us next week after our next House of Worship experience.